United we stand, divided we fall. It's a line we've become familiar with, written by founding father John Dickinson. And this is the principle God established for his creation from the very beginning. And we've seen it unravel ever since.
The attack of Adam and Eve in the garden was not just an attack on Adam, or an attack on Eve, or on the couple itself, but it was attacked by the enemy on the nature and the image of God in man. But after the fall, it went from this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, to him saying to God, I sin because of this woman that you gave me.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. Mankind was never meant to live alone in seclusion. God created us for one another, for community, for building each other up. But it's been under attack since the beginning of time. This week, Charles Tapp continues with the third part in this series by helping you understand what it means to live out a community of oneness with his message, Attack on Community.
Today, as we continue our series on building community, I want to take a moment just to recap our message from last week that we titled Created in Community. And I want to begin by asking you to turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. As we look at verses 26 and verse 27, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Look at what God's word says. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Here, dear friends, we see from the very beginning that man, and I'm talking about mankind, was created for community, not just community in general, but a community of oneness. But what is even more important than the fact that we are created beings, created and designed to exist in community, is that this community is simply a reflection of the community that exists with God. For we are simply made in God's image. And here's what we must understand as it relates to God's community of oneness. That in order for true biblical oneness to exist, there has to be more than one. In order for mankind to be made in God's image, it could not just exist in a singular form. It had to be in a form of plurality, both male and female, created he them. And if man was simply a reflection of the image of God, then God must also exist in a community of oneness. And this community of oneness is revealed in Scripture as God being three persons in one. Not three separate gods, but one God who is revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A community of oneness. Because oneness in community has to exist with more than one. But the only way for true oneness to exist, this oneness in community that existed first with God and now with man, there has to be two things that are in existence. The first, there has to be a sense of complete mutuality. In other words, there has to be a sense of connectedness. And we know that God is connected, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because each of them is God all by themselves. But then that second element also has to be present. That there has to be a sense of equality. And that's what God has in the Godhead. There is no one member of the Godhead who is more superior than the other. They are all equally God. We see this in the community of God where each person, the Godhead, has this connectedness, has this equality. And if God exists in this thing we call the community of oneness, and you and I are made in the image of God, then man must also possess this community of oneness, where there has to be a sense of mutuality or connectedness. And we know that's the case because the Bible says that woman was connected to man because she was made from the side of man, where God took a rib and created woman out of that. But then there also has to be a sense of equality. And please understand this and hear me when I say this today. That when God first created man and woman, regardless of the fact that man was created first, they were created equal. And all the women said, amen. It made no difference that man came first. Well, Pastor, doesn't it say in the Bible that God said that it is not good that man should be alone, that he needs a helper, a helpmeet to complete him? Let me tell you this. When God made woman to help complete man, he didn't give Adam Eve so that she could be his slave or so that she could be his servant or so that she could be his assistant. She came to complete the image of God in man. For when you look at what that means, help meet in the Hebrew, it simply means one who has come to the rescue of another. And again, all the women said, amen. And you're going to go home and tell your husband today, I'm here to rescue you. You've got my permission to do that. Just wait till you get home before you do that. Rescue what? To rescue the image of God in man. For in order for us to be a reflection of God's image, we have to be more than one. So when God says it's not good for man to be alone, in essence, he was simply saying, I haven't finished completing my image within man yet. I'm going to bring woman along so that she can rescue mankind. You see, in the biblical equation, of oneness, it looks like this. One plus one equals one. Just like with the Godhead, one plus one plus one equals one. That could not happen unless each of those persons had this same sense of equality. It is the community of oneness. But as I mentioned in my previous message, this is how it was before the fall. Man and woman were both equal, both servants of each other. It wasn't until after the fall that God set up a hierarchy, a system of hierarchy, where the man was placed over the woman. But here is what I want you to understand regarding that fact today. That the attack of Adam and Eve in the garden was not just an attack on Adam or an attack on Eve or on the couple itself, but it was attacked by the enemy on the nature and the image of God in man. You see, he was simply there to attack this precious gift that God had given this couple, and that was this great community of oneness where both parties were equal. And everything went downhill after that. You see, when Adam first saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man." And then he said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." But after the fall, it went from "this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh," to him saying to God, "I sin because of this woman that you gave me." You see, that relationship between Adam and Eve went downhill when their oneness was attacked. And because of their disobedience, both of them, Adam and Eve, had now had to serve the very origins of their existence. You see, man got his origin from the dust of the ground. And the Bible says that after the fall, he will forever be a servant or a slave to till the ground. Well, the woman came out of man. So now she would now come under man, and man would be over her, all because of this attack on the oneness and the community of oneness in God reflected by his image. And the Bible says, you shall so ever, forever now desire your husband. Meaning, you want to return back to the way it was before sin came into existence. But sadly, there are some men who feel that it was ordained to be this way. There are some men who feel that they possess a higher rank over women simply because they are male and they are female, forgetting that this hierarchy, that this rank only exists because of the attack of the oneness of community, which was the precious gift that God had given them. And the argument they give is, Pastor, it's in the Bible. It says that man is over woman, but it says that as a result of the fall. Please don't miss this. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's something that God intended. Because the Bible records the history of man. I hear people say all the time, especially young people, well, Pastor, we should have dancing in the church because the Bible says that David danced before the Lord. Have you heard that? Well, David also committed adultery, and David also had a man murdered. So what does that say? Just because it's in Scripture doesn't mean it was God's original intent. And this is the case in the relationship with man and woman. Even the polygamy that exists all throughout Scripture for some of our patriarchs like Abraham, it is simply a result of the fall. But what has happened is that line of reasoning has carried over even till today, where in some cultures, women have to walk behind the men because they think that it is their inherent right, not realizing this is simply a result of the fall. Women in our culture today, in many cultures and many societies, are considered to be second-class citizens. That's a result of the fall. Then there's ethnocentrism, where we believe that my culture is better than your culture. That is simply a result of the fall. For when God created man, man was created in his image. Man was equal. And the idea that because of the status that I possess in the community, that I'm better than you are, that's, again, the result of the fall. It is the result of the attack of the community of oneness. But here's the thing. This community of oneness is the one thing that was stolen in the garden. But before Christ went to the cross, it was the one thing that was uppermost in his mind. Turn to the book of John today. Let's go to the Gospel of John. I want to show you something in John chapter 17, where we find recorded the longest prayer in Scripture that Christ ever prayed. John chapter 17, verses 11, 22 to 24. Look at what it says. This is Jesus now, before he goes to the cross, praying this prayer in behalf of the disciples, that includes you and me, to his Father. He says, now I am no longer where? In the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be what? One, as we are one. So what's the theme of this prayer? It's about the restoring of oneness. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be what? One, just as we are one. I in them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in what? One. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. Here is Christ's prayer that he prays to his Father before he goes to the cross. And what he's basically saying to him, listen, God, listen, Father, the oneness that was shattered in the garden, I am now prepared to restore it through the cross. And here's what I don't want any of us to forget today. It is through the cross that the restoration of the community of oneness has been restored. And it is in the church, those who accept Christ as their personal Savior and who follow him, is where that oneness should be demonstrated for the world. And this is why the Apostle Paul could say in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28, he says, listen, now that you're in Christ, all those distinctions that were used to set up a hierarchy are now done away with. He says, for now you are in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile nor male nor female. They were all done away with through the cross of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Attack on Community. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
When you need prayer, the WGTS 91.9 Prayer Community is here for you.
You're just seconds away from requesting prayer
or praying for fellow listeners.
And this isn't your average app.
What's special about the WGTS 91.9 Prayer Community is that when someone prays for you,
you might never meet face to face, but for a few minutes, you are connected to the power of prayer.
Simply download the WGTS 91.9 app and click on When We Pray.
Request prayer.
Pray for others. The WGTS 91.9 prayer community is waiting for you.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and God created us for one another, for community. But it's been under attack since the beginning of time. Charles Tapp shares how to live out a community of oneness with his message, Attack on Community.
Now that you were baptized into Christ, Paul says you can't use the fact that you're of another race to think you're better than another person. And because you're now in Christ and you're part of this community we call the church, you've got to operate like the women are just as equal as you are, because now that you are in Christ, you are one body and you are all equal in the sight of God. It is the new community of the church that this oneness has to exist. Look at this quotation from Jennifer Lane. She's the author of Faith Adventures, Stories of Learning with an Unseen God. Look at what she says here as it relates to this community of oneness in the church. She says, as the church, we are in a community together trying to fulfill this great commission that Jesus left with us. As we gently press into each other, we form one, what? United thing. What is that? His church. As we work together, sharing the space God gives us to do his work, we all become what? Shaped a little different. We all become a little more like him. You know, my family and I, we spent couple of years working in Jamaica at the university there. I know it was a tough job, but somebody had to do it. But in order to really experience Jamaica, you've got to experience the weather. You've got to experience the beaches. You've got to experience the food, the callaloo, the rice and peas, the plantain, the festival. The Escovish red snapper. Oh, excuse me. You've got to experience the language, the patois, Wagwan Mancha. But there's one more thing you've got to experience in Jamaica in order to have the true Jamaican experience. You've got to go for a taxi ride. Any Jamaicans in the house here? Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I remember my first taxi ride. I went down to the corner, you know, waiting for the taxi to come. The taxi pulled up, and they opened the door, and I started to get in, but I looked. It was like a car that should have fit at least 7 or 8 people. It had like 20 people in this car. And the guy says, come on, man, check it in. I said, huh? He said, come on, man. I said, what? Whoppin'? He said, come on, man. I said, where? And they're all looking at me like I'm the crazy American. So I didn't want to, you know, disrespect them. So I got in there. I was, got my elbow in. And I got my egg in. And I had Hi. Now you know how I feel. So I'm in this taxi, and we're going like this, and I can barely breathe, and I can't wait for my stop. I'm oh, gosh. And finally, I get out. But in order to get out, everybody had to adjust. That's why I walk like this now. But here's the thing that really blew me away. If you were to look into that taxi, you wouldn't even see several people. It was like we were one person because we were all pressed together. That's what God wants for the church. He wants us so closely knitted together that the things that usually divide us are no longer there. He wants us to press together through love and through acceptance of one another, that when he looks at us and when the world looks at us, they don't focus on the distinctions. They don't focus on whether you're male or female, whether you're brown, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're rich. They see one body. Because the closer we press together, the more we reveal the community of oneness, the more the church looks like we're created in God's image. The world is looking for a place to belong where it doesn't matter what race you are. The world is looking for a place where women have the same standing that men have. Here's the challenge. We have taken a lot of the world's values and ideologies and brought them into the church, into this new community of oneness. So in some churches, women can't participate on the same status of men simply because they're a woman. But Paul says, that was after the fall, before the cross. After the cross, you are now one in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what the world says, the church is supposed to be one. I believe that the more we press together and the more we become one, the world will be the path to our door. Because if we can truly resemble the image of God, where oneness comes in more than one, because we're all equal, we'll be a shining light to the world. But the only way we'll ever experience that sense of oneness is that we have to be intentional about it. And here's the challenge that many of us will face. And I want you, when you get home, look at your sermon review. Look at those questions that I put there every week, especially the ones for this week. Here's the challenge, especially in a church like Sligo, because some of us in our various cultures, we still believe that women are less than. We still believe that a different race is less than. But now you're in a different culture. It's called the culture of the kingdom of God. And if you're going to be part of this culture, your culture must diminish, and God's culture must increase. So that's going to be a challenge for some of you who are from a culture where the woman's work is just to work in the home and be the assistant or slave of servant of the man instead of his servant equal. But anything worth having is worth working for. Do you believe that? And here's my prayer for us here at Sligo and our wider community. When the world looks at us, I want them to see the image of God reflected in us. You know, people, when they come to Sligo, especially friends of mine, they go, man, look at this diverse church that you have. How do you guys get along? And I'm going, isn't that the way the church is supposed to be? There's no white church. There's no Asian church. There's no black church. There's no Hispanic church. I said that once, and a group of Hispanics got up and stormed out the church. I kid you not. There's only one church, God's church. And if we can't look like the body of Christ here, do you think we'll ever make it to see Christ when he comes? The world is waiting. And here's the one litmus test that even the world understands so that they will know that we are truly a reflection of the image of God. And Jesus himself said it in the Gospel of John. He says, and they will know that you are one of mine if you have what? Love. One for the other. How does Paul describe love? There's no distinction between races. They're not done away with, but you can't use them to your advantage anymore. No distinction between sexes. In this culture, the culture of the kingdom, there's no distinction in class, in the culture of the kingdom. Because in the culture of the kingdom, what it should exist is a community of oneness, multiple entities all connected in Christ becoming one. That's my prayer. We can pray about it to make it happen, but what's really going to make it happen, and we're going to talk more about this next week when I talk about the commitment of community. We're going to have to work even harder and be more intentional to make sure that we look and we reflect the image of God, which means my culture, my tradition must take a back seat to the culture of the kingdom, and all God's people should say, amen.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Attack on Community. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify, or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Because in order to be committed to something, you've got to be willing to become vulnerable. You've got to be willing to tear down the walls and allow people to see you for who you really are.
There's always risk when you commit yourself to something, but there's no greater reward than when you open yourself up to the kind of community for which God has created you. Next week, Charles Tapp challenges you to take time to remove the walls that separate us and enter into each other's space as he concludes his series on building community with his message, Commitment to Community. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.